Why is seminary so expensive? At Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, we are committed to the reform of theological education toward meeting the needs of churches across the globe. Men of God cannot serve their churches well if they are burdened with tens of thousands of dollars in student loans from seminary. At CBTS, you can receive a robust theological education for nearly four times less than other institutions. To find out more about how you can receive an accredited theological degree at a cost that you can afford, visit cbtseminary.org.
Welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Inbox on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. It is my privilege, once again, to talk to two men whom I greatly appreciate, Pastors Lee McKinnon and Pastor Joe Wilson. It's good to be with you, brothers, and to, although our audience can't see you, it's good for me as we're recording to see your smiling faces this morning. And in this conversation, I'm excited to talk to you, especially because we're going to focus on the subject of how can a church find a pastor? That's our question for this conversation. So as is our normal practice for this show, I'll ask that question and get it out of the way. So brothers, how can a church find a pastor?
Well, to begin with, a church is certainly cast upon the Lord for this. Ephesians 4:11, how Christ gives gifts, and pastor teacher is that one permanent gift in the list there. Or Acts 20:28, it's the Holy Spirit who makes men overseers. And therefore, it's not simply a matter of, you know, kind of like looking for a CEO, assessing the guy's academic credentials, his business acumen. And so it's only the Lord who can give, or the Spirit who can make a pastor, an elder, an overseer for a church. So to begin with, that means the church must seek him and keep seeking him, not just initially, but then throughout the whole process of evaluating possibilities. But now, having said that, there are some steps that can be taken. I mean, first, of course, I would think to look within the congregation to see if anyone in the membership should be considered. It might well be that's the case. But failing that, then networking with sister churches, trusted elderships, to see if they know of men suitable for consideration. And then, of course, Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, they have on their site a page for those who are looking for a pastor. I think it's called Ministerial Opportunities. I think Reformed Baptist Seminary has a similar page on theirs. So those are just some suggestions for beginning. But Joe, what would you add to that, my brother?
Lee, I was going to say basically the same thing that you said, so I will reiterate that. It's a relationship that is of great importance, a church and a pastor. It needs to be like a good marriage. It needs to be a match made in heaven. I was going to say three things, and you've already covered them all. I was going to say, how can a church find a pastor? Number one, look above. We need the pastor who God wants us to have, and we have to pray for God to supply that man. Secondly, look within. You mentioned that also. Your pastor might be in your very midst, and that seems to be one of the ways in the New Testament and in church history in which God has raised up pastors for churches. Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And Paul, of course, told Titus, you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city. So you first look to God, you look above, you continue to do that through the whole process. You look within. And if God has not provided you the pastor within, you look around. I don't know of any reason why God would not supply a true pastor from outside the church, and he often has done so. So you can look to other pastors and churches. inquiring of them if they know qualified men. Look to good seminaries, including, I was going to mention, but you've already done it, Brother Lee, Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary and many others has a link called the Ministerial Opportunities where this can be done. So basically, I'm just going over everything that you've already said.
But you said it more eloquently, my brother.
This is another privilege of getting to visit with you guys. I appreciate your humor, but also your balance of soberness whenever the conversation demands it. So thank you guys. And sure. Let's just keep going with this conversation, because I would guess that perhaps in other church contexts, the way a pastor is chosen for a church might be a little bit different than how we understand it. So how might our understanding of ecclesiology that we derive from Scripture distinguish us from other churches with different ecclesiologies, and how they might seek to find a pastor?
Well, sadly, it's not uncommon for churches to go about it as if they were seeking a CEO. You know, they seek resumes, and maybe they'll advertise in various journals or on websites, hear a few sermons, contact the references on the resume. And the problem is, it's with only very limited, real personal interaction. In other words, knowing little of how the man measures up biblically. And by that, I mean, in particular, is he really marked by every one of those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1? Because if he's not marked by every one of those qualifications, he's not qualified. He is not Christ's gift to his church, no matter how wonderful his resume may look. He's not been made an overseer yet by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we really understand these matters on those two lists, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, mm-hmm. and that they are essential, then surely that's going to determine the steps that a church will take in seeking a pastor. It'll mean taking time to really know that each of these mark the man, that he's not simply a good communicator, and not chiefly concerned about his academic achievements. Is he a PhD? Well, that's actually not found in 1 Timothy 3. And by the way, if he's not all those things, 1 Timothy 3, et cetera, then he's not qualified, as I've already said. It's not looking at, you know, how good is he with the kids? If he's good with our youth, boy, we really need somebody. Mm. Does he come across as a successful guy, a businessman, a real charismatic type personality? You know, again, those things aren't on the list there. Mm. But then I think explaining each of these to the members and that they would know what the biblical qualifications mean, however much detail is needed. And then taking time, too, for the members to actually know the man, for their consciences to be carried, that he is 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1 man, because obviously it's going to be the suffrage, to use the old language, or the consensus, the vote of the congregation. Well, these brothers and sisters, they need to have their consciences carried that, yes, this is indeed the one that Christ is giving to the church. And how are they going to know that except by way of the composite sketch there in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Now, it's not uncommon among Reformed Baptist churches to have a period of time for evaluation, that the man is there among the brethren, 6 months or a year. Now, admittedly, that can prove challenging as by way of the logistics of it, and yet it is beneficial both for the man and for the church to be assured that this is of the Lord, a confirming of his call. I would also want to insert here that if a church is without any pastor at present, then it's very, I think, right and wise to be under the oversight of another congregation or other churches, so that you'll have elders who will be walking them through the whole process. But there's at least a few thoughts. Joe, I'm sure you've more to add.
Very little, brother. I'll just say that according to my ecclesiology, I assume that it would be yours also. It is important that the local church do the searching and then eventually the calling. We, of course, would not, since we don't have apostles or apostles representatives who can appoint elders, we would not agree with an ecclesiastical board appointing men over other churches.
Right.
There are lots of denominations where you get the pastor that someone else who's not even a part of your local assembly appoints for you and sends to you. And we would differ with that in our ecclesiology. This is such an important process. I can take recommendations, or I can give recommendations to my grandchildren about who might make a good spouse, but I'm not going to rob them of that decision. I know in some countries that kind of thing is done, but the church needs to examine the man. The church needs to see if he meets the qualifications of Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3, and the church needs to interact with him, hear him preach, and then issue the call. So that needs to be a part of the search. That's one area where I might differ with other ecclesiologies. It must be the local church doing it. So that's all I'll add to that.
Well said. And so we've covered some ways that a church might find a pastor in this conversation, but I want to wrap this first episode that we're recording in this batch today up by asking if there's any specific or particular instruction that you would offer to churches seeking to find a pastor.
Well, further to what's already been said and really included in that, don't be hasty. Don't cut corners. Be careful. Be sure. You know, the instruction given to Timothy in this whole connection in 1 Timothy 5:22 about not laying hands on anyone hastily. Take time and make sure. Don't be too quick on this. I would also say in that connection, don't get enamored with his preaching ability or his winsomeness or how good he is with the kids.
Yeah.
You've got to see the big picture here again. Are all of the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 there? Not just most of them, all of them, at least to some observable degree. I would also say, don't fret. It's Christ's church.
Good.
He gives gifts, pastor, teachers, the Holy Spirit who makes men overseers. Well, he's thousands of years of faithfulness in providing, and therefore we can seek and trust him no matter the delay that he has ordained, yet we can trust him and use to the full with gratitude to him when he does providentially grant pastors in the meantime. Well, that's, again, a few random thoughts there to tag on at the end. But Joe, my brother?
Well, I'll just say again, pray, and then pray some more. That would be the instruction I would offer to the churches. And then having prayed and recognizing without fretting, without impatience, recognizing that God is the one who will send the pastor, it doesn't mean that you can't go on the search. Don't be afraid to use any means in searching for a pastor. This is my opinion. Any means that do not violate Scripture are open and available to the church. Look carefully within. Your pastor might be right under your noses. And I think sometimes churches are prone to overlook that possibility. Look within for men of grace first, who meet the qualification of Scripture, and gifts. Gifts are only one of all of those qualifications. Someone quoted in our men's prayer meeting this morning, John Blanchard at a Bible conference, who said, speaking gifts are not a call to the ministry. And many people have those. And just because a man can get up and deliver a good sermon, that doesn't mean he should be your pastor. So But look for the grace, look for the gifts, and then be willing to look outside to experienced pastors in other churches and to other churches also. And I'll mention one more time, pray. Because God delights to hear and answer the prayers of the Blood Vault Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Austin?
Well, in this conversation, we have introduced how a church can find the pastor. We hope that these theological reflections and then practical steps on this subject will be helpful to any church that is indeed trying to find a pastor. So may the Lord bless this conversation to his glory. Thank you for listening today. If you have questions related to what we've talked about, submit your questions to pastorsinbox@cbtseminary.org. And until next time, we wish you grace and peace.